Welcome to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, seeing humor and hope in a crazy world. I'm Bob.
And I'm Father Dave.
We are so excited that you are listening to our first podcast.
Hip hip, hooray! The crowd goes crazy. A Wonder Boy from Augusta, Georgia.
We're really excited to bring this to you. We're really glad you're spending time with us, and we are excited to share our friendship, share our lives, but most importantly, share hope.
Amen. We live in a world that is so confused and anxious and frustrated and concerned and nervous and despairing at times, and to be able to just share our story with you, and maybe at the end of each podcast, have a greater sense of hope, a greater sense of peace, greater sense of the Lord's presence, and laugh every now and then. I think we'll accomplish what we desire.
Yeah, exactly. Father Dave and I have been friends for 25, 6, 7 years.
It's been a while. Anything over 20 is just bragging.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So it's definitely over 20. I met you when you were Brother Dave Pavanka.
I met you when you were Bob Rice.
That's true.
You haven't done much. What'd you get with it?
Hey, man, I'm Dr. Bob Rice, bro.
You're right.
And God willing, Deacon Bob Rice
next November. All right.
We'll have a live podcast for that.
I can't wait.
It'll be like a mic'd up episode.
You know, sure like it will.
It's
just really cool to be able to, you and I have been talking about this for a long time, and we just hope you who are listening are blessed and you enjoy it. Yeah, we want to have fun, but we also want to talk about some substantive issues. And yeah, it should be fun. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So again, thank you so much for listening.
Amen. Do you think they're still listening, or do you think they've quit?
You know what? I don't know if we get metadata on that. I was actually, somebody told me who listens to a lot of podcasts, they say never listen to the first few podcasts of anybody because they have no idea what they're doing.
Fair enough.
That's probably true.
That's great.
But we're glad you're listening. And hang in there till the end.
And hope you're blessed by it.
There's a nice little tag at the end. Maybe a free prize? I'm just trying to keep them listening.
This should work.
Yeah, there's no way this could go wrong.
All right.
They that hope comes from the scripture from Isaiah. They that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Mm-hmm. And again, that's part of the hope.
Amen. And that's something we're going to try to do. And we hope that you experience just our own life and sharing in our own life and how we experience the hope of the Lord. But also just taking a look at all kinds of things. There's not a lot of ground rules. You know, some of the times we're going to be talking about what's going on in the culture. Sometimes it'll be movies or maybe sports. And then our own experience. And then also just what do we see it in the life of the church as well. So kind of this big picture of where hope is present.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where have you seen hope present lately?
Well, the thing I thought was kind of interesting actually has happened, I think, on Friday. Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
The notorious RBG.
RBG. Did you see the documentary?
I didn't. Did you?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I saw it on a flight. 98% of movies I've ever seen.
You and me both, bro.
You know, but the thing is obviously I was not maybe a huge fan of some of her politics. But I think one of the things that was just really interesting was her relationship with another Supreme Court justice who passed away a number of years ago. I think actually 5 years ago now, Justice Scalia. And you could not have had two people that were more apart from each other politically, but had a beautiful relationship and friendship. They traveled together, they fished together, they barbecued together. And we live in a world that's become so divided, and you're either in this camp and you're in that camp, and never should the two meet. I think there was just something honestly kind of beautiful about their relationship and their friendship.
Scalia's son, wrote a beautiful opinion piece on the Washington Post.
Not the priest's son.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, one of his sons is a priest.
His son is a priest, right? Right. I think Father Paul.
I don't think it was Father Paul because okay. It didn't. I have it up here. Wait, let me pull it up real quick. Opinions. Written by Eugene.
Okay. Yep. Must be another son.
It's another son. He wrote something really cool about it, which I will just quote because it's neat. He said this. The appreciation for differences between the two is integral to their friendship. She made her mark as a pioneering advocate for women's rights. My father was a traditional Catholic who came to prominence as a critic of activist courts. And he said, in that spirit, it's often remarked today, if our government leaders spent more time together, they would come to like and respect one another, be more civil, achieve consensus, harmony, and wondrous legislation. But then he says, don't draw that lesson from their relationship. He said, I first became of Justice Ginsburg when she and my father were on the Court of Appeals in the D.C. Circuit, and he lamented, good naturedly, that she'd written an opinion describing his view of the case as less than fully baked. It might have been worse, I said. She could have called your ideas half-baked. No, he said with an appreciative grin, it was worse. It means I'm one quarter or one fifth baked. But he goes on to say how they disagreed vigorously for the rest of their lives on some of the most important things. And he shares some real sharp barbs with the two of them. But he says that what we can learn from that relationship is how to be a friend and how to welcome debate and differences. They had a central role in addressing some of the most divisive issues of the day, but not for a moment did one think the other should be condemned or ostracized. They believed in what they were doing and that it was essential for good. And I love how he highlights that, because I think as we pray for unity in our country, in our church, there's a temptation to say we should all be the same, or I think there's almost a relativistic sense of like, you know what, it really doesn't matter what we believe as long as we just get along. And what at least what his son was suggesting is that they really struck a good balance of being able to passionately disagree and still in the context of that really care for each other and respect for each other. And not, and I think this is probably the big thing for our culture today, not demonize the other
person.
Right.
There was actually a really neat story that I read this weekend, and it was one of the other justices was in Justice Scalia's office, and there was a big jar. I don't send a lot of roses that come in jars, don't they?
It's a vase.
This is one of the things I think you're going to figure out by listening to Bob and I is that our lives are terribly different.
Yeah. There's a reason you didn't get married is because you sent somebody a jar of roses. Anyway,
it's a thought that counts.
That'll be another episode.
All right. So, but on his desk was a huge thing of roses. And he said, Scalia said to the other justice, he said, those are for Ruth. It's her birthday. And the justice first off said, you know, I think that's more roses than I've sent to my wife our entire married life. But then he said, he goes, well, you know, why do you do that? She never votes with you on substantive issues. But it's just on side note, it's interesting. The majority of time that they did vote together, but it was just the really hot debated issues that they're often opposed to one another. And Scalia said, some things are more important than votes. And I just thought about that again, that we, and I think you nailed it, Bob, is that we have a tendency to demonize those people that we disagree with. And these two people couldn't be more opposed on really important substantive issues.
Right.
So it's not being relativistic or compromising, but that they were able to look past those politics or their differences of opinion, which were serious issues, and still care for one another. And I just think there's something to that quickly we demonize one another.
It's almost as though people can lose their dignity in our minds if they think something different.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You have a I'm sharing this as a sinful person that sometimes thinks that way. Yeah. I have a conversation with somebody and they drop a kind of thought or a perspective that I really disagree with. And there's a temptation in my brain to go, oh, you're one of those. Yeah, yeah. We need to wrap this conversation up right now.
Right. That person.
Right. Yeah. Usually for me, I mean, I guess we can get personal on the podcast. Usually it's for me when someone says, oh, I really didn't like The Last Jedi, but I liked Rise of Skywalker. And I'm thinking, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Was that too deep? Was that too deep for the first episode?
Well, you know, that's where I was going too.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course you were.
Who wasn't?
That's right. It was obvious. Everybody was thinking that.
Well, kind of trivializes what I was going to say was this one time, this meme that I read that said, be careful who you hate. You may turn out that it's somebody you love.
Oh.
You know, there's
thanks for bringing it back.
Yeah, that's somebody. I guess that's going to be my job.
I think that's another thing we're going to see in this podcast.
Just call me Boomerang, because it's going to bring you back all the time. So anyway.
Boomerangs of Hope.
Yeah.
With Father Dave.
What, you sound like, you're like one of those.
What do I sound like?
Those like romance novels advertisement or something like that. But can we get back on this?
The ones you open up and it talks to you?
I've never seen. What do you read, you weirdo?
It's right next to the jar of roses at the grocery store. Can we just get back?
But back to our point, and we do have a point. It's just I think the point is that in the relationship that was marked by kindness and charity and civility, two people that were just to reiterate what we've already said, but there was something about that in reading about that and reading the stories and seeing the images that was just, I think it was very touching. Yeah. I think it speaks to each one of us that we need to be able to look at quote unquote those people,
right,
and realize. I mean, let's go to the scriptures that's who Jesus spent time with, right? Those people that we want to dismiss or not as good as or not as deserving as or in the darkness or the sinner. Yeah, it's something for us to think about.
To state the obvious, social media doesn't help this, and I think in one way it doesn't because. You know, just the nature of the written word, even on the screen, is almost profoundly and entirely intellectual or emotional. Like it's all head stuff. And you don't actually encounter another person. You just encounter their idea. Mm-hmm. And then you turn the person into their idea. And suddenly they don't have a great marriage and family. They're not a part of society or community. There might be a thousand of other things that you would really resonate and connect with this person with, but all you have is this brief opportunity and this idea. And then you just start attacking the idea. And really there's no people in social media. It's just ideas and arguments and other difficult things. So yeah, I was really inspired by that story as well. And I think probably a good cultural image to start our podcast off
right,
with.
Right, right. And before we close this section, something to bear in mind is it's going to be a total train wreck. watch what is going to happen in Senate and in the media and in the news. And I mean, her replacement is just, I mean, I texted you right away and said, this is going to be a train wreck. And you qualified that it might be more than a train wreck.
So. Yeah, it's, I mean, just when you think it couldn't get crazier.
No, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's crazier. Well, you know, Father Dave, if I can change the subject, countless times I've heard people say, oh, if not for family and work, I'd attend Franciscan University in a heartbeat.
I've said that 100 times myself.
Exactly. And then you became the president. Sucka. Well, whether you seek a bachelor or master's, our ever-growing list of online programs now puts a degree from Francis.
Oh, this is an ad.
This is an ad. Okay, yeah, that was
segue. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's so smooth.
Yeah, we're supposed to. Yeah, that's part of what we're doing. But we're trying to make it not feel like an ad.
Okay.
But anyway, as I was just casually saying, our ever-growing list of online programs now puts a degree from Franciscan University within reach, no matter where you live. You don't have to be in Steubenville. In 2020, we added 5 new online bachelor degree programs in theology, philosophy, catechetics, business management, and psychology, which is impressive. We got anything done in 2020. I mean, I think that in and of itself is a movement of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
These online programs are grounded in Franciscans' highly acclaimed core curriculum based on the university's Catholic mission. And check out our online master's program in Catholic studies, Catholic leadership, catechetics and evangelization. That's my fave, by the way. Theology and Christian ministry, business administration, and education. Our online programs are taught by the same world-class scholars and seasoned practitioners who teach in our classrooms on campus. To find more about Franciscan University's online programs, you can go to online.franciscan.edu. And you should.
Well read.
Thank you very much. So, They That Hope is the name of our podcast. We had many other suggestions for our Father Dave, and some of you might have seen this, put it on his Instagram account, which is very popular. How many followers do you have for your Instagram account?
90 million, something like
that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that all? Yeah. That's right. That's fantastic.
I'm what they like to call an influencer.
You could almost hear the air quotes coming through the microphones. That's how the quality of it. You are an influencer, which is better than being influenza.
A lot better.
Yeah.
A lot better.
It is. Yeah. But if you're in the northeast, you're an influenza.
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't know I could do all these accents.
I did not. Definitely.
Do you want to hear my Irish accent?
No, I don't. Actually, I don't.
Let's okay, Boyle. So what were some... So we threw it out there. Hey, please help name our podcast. Some very wise person said a question that we probably should have thought about. What's your podcast about?
Yeah, that one caught me by surprise.
Yeah, we were just like... Rrr.
Our students are so intuitive.
So sharp. Yeah. And I think you very beautifully said, I don't know, just stuff.
Yep.
So then we got a lot of... hair jokes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot
bald
of
bald was common.
The bald and the bearded.
Yep. A Burks and bow tie.
Right. So comments on fashion.
Everything about rice that you could possibly. about rice and everything about goose.
Yes.
You know?
Right. There was a lot of wild goose things. There was a lot of wild rice things as if I'd never heard that before in my life.
Yeah.
Of goose and geese or of geese and.
Of goose and gods or.
No.
The galaxies. Geese,
oh, yeah. Of geese and galaxies.
That was great.
That was a really good one. And then there was the most subtle one I liked was of geese and grain.
Yeah, that one I did.
I love that one.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Well, I like the alliteration. I'm a big alliteration fan.
You're not illiterate. You've read a lot.
That's true. I'm getting better at it. I'm hooked on phonics at Work Ed for Me.
That's great.
So.
But I think that back to the whole thing about what it's about. Obviously, that's the key. The question for us to be able to wrestle with, and we hope you experience this, you who are listening, is just one of the things that we wrestled with was one I think we called hoptometry or something like that, which got nixed by the Marcom office.
Marcom.
So, but the
how do you spell hoptometry? It's a made up word any way you want.
Yeah, that's right.
Like you need to do an internet search on such things.
So, but. They might have been right. You know, they might
maybe
have been
just,
right. They were because we changed the name.
Yeah, we talked about it. And we're like, oh, they're probably right. Know their job.
But the thing is that what we want is to help you, the listener, to find hope. And the reality is that the thought, again, is hoptometry, help you to see clearly. But there are things to be hopeful about. But I want to say something at the very, very beginning as we begin this is that we're going to use the word hope, but we want to be clear about what we mean by that. The in Romans, it says, Romans 5, hope does not disappoint. Mm-hmm. And in my experience tells me, because so often times I find myself disappointed, and in years of ministry find a lot of people disappointed, the word of God is true. So if hope doesn't disappoint, then what is it that causes us to be disappointed? And I suggest that we need to learn what hope is. Hmm. So we're going to use hope and we'll challenge each other, I'm sure. But our hope has to be in the Lord. But we can get signs of that and we can encounter him, which brings us a sense of hope, brings us a sense of peace, brings us a sense of presence. But if it's not in the Lord, it's ultimately going to lead us to frustration, disappointment, ultimately lead us to disappointment.
Yeah, something you shared with me once that really changed my mindset is just trying to avoid using the word hope when you mean like wishing.
Want or desire.
Yeah, like, boy, I really hope, you know, this will happen. Yeah. And I mean, because that is a way that the world defines hope.
Right.
But
it's not wishful thinking. Hope is not merely wishful thinking.
Right. Yeah. Christian hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus. I mean, really, it very much always looks towards eternity with great confidence.
Yeah. And even the end of that text in Romans is hope does not disappoint because everybody lean in because this what comes after because it's really important because the love of God has been poured forth into our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter what's going on in your world. It doesn't matter how confusing things are. It doesn't matter how messed up your family it is. It doesn't matter how your finances are a mess. There is always hope, and the hope because the love of God has been poured forth into our hearts. And if we can help people encounter that, the listener encounter that, then I think we're doing what God wants us to do.
You know, 2020 for me was, I think for all of us, you know, but certainly personally was a big challenge. Yeah, there was a car that drove by. Well, let's give it a second.
I thought it was a helicopter landing on the building.
It might be. It might be. We're actually broadcasting. Should I say it?
Yeah.
It's a tangential. We're broadcasting from our
that's
brand.
That's 90% of what we do.
That's right.
We traffic. Wait.
Oh, no. I'm going to go off script. Like our script is like three sentences written on the back of a receipt, people. And a long piece of paper that explains Franciscan's online programs. We're broadcasting from the George D. Rice Music Center at Franciscan University. It is a new place. Those of you familiar with Franciscan might remember Sandella's Coffee Shop.
Or Heavenly Grounds.
Or Heavenly Grounds. Oh, that's right.
Or the Twilight
Motel. Or the Twilight Motel.
Depending on how long you've been here.
It's still haunted. So... but now it's the George D. Rice Music Center, and it is, absolutely
Bob,
beautiful.
Tell us the story.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So, and this is just a great story of hope. So a number of years ago, we were looking at Franciscan to create a program in music ministry. So we have a sacred music major in voice, I believe also in organ with, you know, specializations in piano and some other things. But for many of our students, there was a reflection of wanting to do something more in the contemporary realm of things. And I was invited to be a part of those discussions. At the time, I was finishing my doctorate, so there was a bit of a pause on getting that done before I could do it. And anyway, it looked like we were going to move ahead with that, but one of the sticking points was we needed practice space. Franciscan, we use space a lot at Franciscan. It's a little bit insane, the amount of classroom space, athletic space. I mean, praise be Jesus Christ. We're busting at the gills with people doing wonderful and amazing things, but finding space is always a challenge. So I was somewhat tasked to try to see if there might be donors or people out there who would be willing to give money for a practice space. So I shared that with my mom and dad, because I shared everything with my mom and dad. I have a fantastic relationship with them, and I just like to tell them what goes on, especially my dad. He just loves to hear about work stuff. He was such a great entrepreneur. He worked a lot in the food service industry and was extremely successful with that. So and in some ways, you know, he just loved hearing business stuff. And so I said, hey, well, I'm doing something new. I'm actually going to try to do a little bit of fundraising. Oh, for what? Well, this music center. And that's, oh, that's great. So anyway, they called me a couple days after the conversation. And my dad said, we'd like to do that music center. And I said, what are you talking about? Because, you know, I wasn't pitching it to them at all. And they just said, no, we really want to do it. My dad loved music, was a great singer, played saxophone. Actually, after, you know, he played in a big band before he got into business. And then when he semi-retired from business, he, you know, was playing, you know, three nights a week, you know, whether it would be sometimes Sunday morning at church and then in a restaurant at night.
That's cool.
And he was really good. Like I remember the first time I went to see him, he said, oh yeah, I've gotten back into the sax and I'm playing at this club. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be so bad. And he was just amazing. I mean, just fantastic. Anyway, so they make a decision that they would give a certain amount right now and then a certain amount after he dies. And at the time we were thinking that might be 10 years from then, yeah, or whatever. And then 6 months later, he passed away, which was sad, but, you know, it was right after his 50th anniversary. The whole family had been together. I mean, it was one of those things, you never want someone to die, but if you're going to write your way out, we had a week together in the Bahamas where we celebrated their 50th. We had a video of all their friends wishing him well. He got home. He played a great round of golf. He played sax at the restaurant he loved playing with one of his best friends, and he had a bit of a headache that night, which turned into an aneurysm, which turned into a stroke, and he passed. Yeah. But this was one of the last things he said he wanted to do. Actually, he wasn't that big on putting his name on it, but once he passed, we're like, oh, his name is going on it. And so we're nicknaming it the George.
Oh, cool.
And we think it's going to be just a great space.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's really great.
And in many ways, you know, we were supposed to have summer conferences, as you might be aware of, and those got grounded, and it left me here in Steubenville at the time thinking, well, what am I going to do? Well, praise be Jesus Christ, this center needed a lot of input, and I was really grateful also to Franciscan that they let me throw crazy ideas out, and they were always willing to do it and always saying yes to it. And so this summer, I really worked hard on this center. And so it's just for me, I mean, obviously, it's a great reflection of my dad and his love of music. He used to always say, I thank God every day for the gift of music. But it was something that came out of this, you know, dumpster fire of a year in many ways that was beautiful. And it wasn't what I thought it would be in terms of what the summer would be. But now I can see some good things that God really did. And even just sitting here doing this podcast with you in the space is just a affirmation that, you know, when we talk about hope, what I really got out of this year was that many times I don't put my hope in the Lord. I put my hope in what the Lord does for me. Mm. And I have a very specific idea of what that should be. And when the Lord doesn't do for me what I wanted him to do for me, I think the Lord has let me down. But I was focused on the gift and not the giver. Mm. And I think that's really easy to pull your eyes from it. And for me, this year has been very hopeful in the Christian hope of the word. Because also, as it says in Romans, one hopes for what one does not see. You know, we haven't seen some of those movements of the Lord. And what we have seen, particularly just through our own lives and maybe financial issues and job issues and health issues and certainly the world's issues, we don't see anything worth praising God for, but we have the confidence of the resurrection, of the second coming, of what God's going to do. And then if we look, you know, we can really see some amazing things that God's done.
Amen. And I think that's exactly what we want to do is to be able to share where we're able to see that. And hopefully by grace and by each one of us experience deeper conversion, then we begin to see hope in places that we didn't think it was going to be.
What have you, as we're kind of coming, wrapping up the podcast, what about you? Like coming out of, you know, we're kind of hopefully coming out of 2020, at least some of the darkness Please and Lord. The difficulty of it, right? What thing do you look back in the rearview mirror and go, ooh, wow, that's where the Lord was?
Yeah, dead space is good for podcasts, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just there's all different kinds of things that go through my mind. And oddly enough, the first thing that goes that I think of and reflect of was when COVID first started and we were not able to celebrate Mass anymore with a congregation, which I never imagined a world that would happen. And I was sitting in the chapel, Holy Spirit Friary, and just kind of pouring my heart out to the Lord and was frustrated. And so, I mean, this may not, I don't know how this relates or how this comes across, but the Lord was just present to me in this. And he reminded me that he was still the Lord and that this was not a surprise to him and that things were not out of control to him. And there was just this great moment and grace of surrender, saying, Lord, you know, I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense to me, but I trust you, you know, and I believe that you are faithful and that you are good and that you are. I went through this whole litany of those fundamental things that I know to be true about the Lord. And when it was all done, it was like this sense of a peace and a presence that I knew. And again, I think this is important, that I knew everything was going to be okay. It didn't turn out the way that I thought it would, but I still know that everything's going to be okay. And that's, yeah. I think that's ultimately what's rooted in our faith is that sometimes I think when we pray or we speak of hope, God is faithful if he does what we want him to. We experience his presence, his hope, if he does what we want him to. But as you alluded to earlier, that's not ultimately what it's about. It's ultimately about the God who's a God who keeps his promises.
Yeah.
He is who he says he is.
So, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for anyone listening that has struggled with that, that means you have a pulse in your breathing, particularly with the past few months. God has not abandoned you. He is doing something. Maybe we don't know what he's doing. Maybe we can't see it. But hope is not wishful thinking. It's a confidence.
Amen.
And we are grateful that you have spent this time with us. We hope that something we shared will give you hope. Did I use hope the right way?
Not really. But that's,
okay.
That's all right.
We wish.
When you were little, did you have a curse jar when you were little?
No, I didn't curse when I was little.
But neither did I, but my brothers.
Sure. Oh, yeah. right, but other people.
So we'll have like this hope jar that every time we use it, then it's inappropriate. We'll like put money into it.
Okay.
And then by then we could build a new center.
A sequel center.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what do I say? I want that you have hope. God has not abandoned you.
Yeah,
we trust and you're loved. And we are grateful that you spent this time with us, and we look forward to spending more time with you. And if it's something you think is cool and maybe this message might help, share it with somebody else. Certainly there's a lot of despair and fear out there, and we could all use more biblical hope rooted in Jesus Christ.
Amen. And we find ourselves today is the Feast of St. Matthew. And I love the Feast of St. Matthew. If you've had the opportunity to ever be in Rome, there's a little church over by the Pantheon. I believe it's called St. Louis, King of France. And in it, you walk in and you walk to the left as soon as you enter the church. And back in the very corner is a beautiful Caravaggio of the Calling of Matthew. And you see the light emanating and you see Matthew in this, just this image of him being called. And then next to that, you have the Calling of Matthew, or excuse me, the Writing of Matthew, the author. And they're just beautiful, beautiful Caravaggios. I like
him. He's one of my favorites.
Well, I say he's my favorite, but I think he's really the only one I know. But I just love Caravaggio. Right? So it just sounds cool to say he's my favorite. Then we'll see, what else do you like? It's like
Michelangelo?
But this is what we like to call another tangent. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful image. And let me also say that this particular image was significant to our Holy Father, Pope Francis. And every time he would go to Rome, when he was a bishop or a cardinal, he would go and he would pray in front of this image of Matthew being called. Matthew, who was a sinner, who by all accounts, you know, being a tax collector, had no business being with Jesus. And yet Jesus calls him. You know, calls him out of his confusion and out of his sinfulness and out of his brokenness. And yeah, so we just look at that story and it ought to give us hope that there is always a place for us. And maybe even to go back where we started at the beginning, Bob, this sense of Jesus, the Son of God, the Anointed One, the Living One, hanging out with a tax collector. Most people never would have put those two people together.
Yeah.
And yet faith and charity, in recognition of the goodness of the human person can do that. So we just come before you, Lord, today, and we thank you for St. Matthew and the example of faith that he is, his abandonment, his total surrender to the Lord. I ask your blessing upon our listeners that they would know, that you would know, that you are loved and that we live in a world that is graced. It's a world that's graced by the Lord's presence and it's filled with his beauty, his goodness, his kindness. And we pray that you be given the grace to be able to see that today. May the Lord pour out his blessings upon you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless, Bob.
God bless, Father Dave. And thank you for listening to They That Hope with Father Dave and Bob, a podcast brought to you by Franciscan University of Steubenville.